the day we got born again, we were born into the promised land. You live based on what God has said. You carry it in your spirit. If He has said it, it is true. Your joy, your fulfillment, your mood is independent on happiness. So we don't live based on happiness. We live based on God's will. We live from the inside. Let your heart be established in grace. You are a mobile temple. Prayer is allowed anywhere, anytime. Sito keto, monti kate, rito kopoto keta, sudeke ponde kidede. Christianity is a display of divine as two men on earth. You see, when spiritual hunger gains the ascendancy, gains the dominance over your mind, you don't even see anything as sacrifice.
So as you grow spiritually, you generate a potential difference. And that potential difference will bring to you the monies you need, it will bring to you the people you need, it will bring to you the necessary materials you need to fulfill your God-given calling on the earth.
This morning I'll be sharing on how to handle tough seasons. Or how to handle a tough season. Glory to God. You know, the Spirit of God laid in my heart to share this message with us. And I know it's a timely word. I know it's something you will, even if you're not going through a tough season currently, it's something you should bank. Because the tough season is coming. And it's in levels. Glory to God. And it must come. And it comes in seasons, like we say. Glory to God. But you see, many people are not positioned to handle. Listen, do you know in this kingdom, before major promotions, these tough seasons must come. Are you aware? They must come to us. And as believers, we must understand that. That tough seasons must come. I know you went through one last year and you came out glorious. And you came up into a new level and things were different. Congratulations. But I have another good news for you. Maybe next year, maybe 2 years from now, I don't know. Another tough season is coming. Something for you to crack for the next level. God has designed it so. But you see, there are those who, for some reasons, were able to handle a tough season yesterday, but today they couldn't. Or today they can't. Or better still, at a particular level of their lives. Things happened because of inspiration and some other things that went through. But it got to a point where they were supposed to break to the thing. They couldn't handle the season that came. You know, I'm saying many things already. If you heard me well, I've said before major seasons, tough seasons come. A tough season comes. So how do we handle tough seasons? How do you handle a tough season? A current tough season? Financially, maritally, business, ministry, whatever it is, health-wise, how do you handle a tough season? What must be your disposition? How do you cross from here there? How do you master what is happening? Remember, I was there last week or 2 weeks ago, I told you that God's problem is not your problem. God's major challenge is you. I don't know how many of you remember that. Come on now. God's major challenge is you. Not what you're facing. And I gave a hilarious example of 4 plus 4, right? Come on, you guys are not talking. You are not here. Or 4 plus 4. In primary 1 or nursery 3, it was a big problem. But see, the Ministry of Education did not say, call a meeting. 2 plus 4 plus 4 is too difficult for nursery 3 to pupil. It's too difficult. How do we change it? Remove it. No more 4 plus 4. No more addition. No more multiplication. Was that what they did? They did not remove the mountain. They grew you above the mountain. You subdued the mountain and grew so beyond the mountain to a point where 4 plus 4 became ridiculous. Imagine primary 5. In an exam, mathematics exam, and they're telling you 4 plus 4, solve 4 plus 4. You'll be like, this must be a mistake, sir. This should be for nursery student. I overcame this long ago. Glory to God. There's nothing wrong with tough seasons. The problem is the people. The bank of knowledge
and our degree of understanding and wisdom on how to handle those seasons. What I'm about to share with you will change your life forever.
Amen.
Because you see, you can just do as though nothing is happening, or behave as though, well, what will be, or act as though, well, if God wants to do something, you will do something. Or you say, I pray though, nothing has happened to him. Maybe it's God's will. These are wrong dispositions. You can't think like that, and then you just rest and say, well, what will be, let whatever happen happen. I'm not sure anymore. Or you even feel like giving up. Maybe I shouldn't even try this anymore. Maybe I shouldn't even hope for this anymore. Maybe I'm hoping too much. Have you heard people say that? Maybe my hope is too high. And then when they hear messages that inspire their faith, they'll be like, ah, Pastor, don't raise my hope. Pastor, don't raise my hope. It's because they don't know how to deal with tough seasons. There's how. And the Bible is clear on that. We can take from Genesis down to Revelation, replete with stories, direct instructions, and principles on how to handle tough seasons. All right? Or you can title how to handle a tough season. Go back to that, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Two to four. My brethren, count it all joy when you go through diverse tests. Alright, King James says, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that he may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Did you get that? Can I have Message translation? Thank you, Lord. All right, 2 to 4. Do we have it? Okay, so all right, let me read it from here. Please, can we upgrade it? I use Message. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Is somebody listening this morning? You should consider it as what? A sheer gift. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well developed, not deficient in anything. Oh, glory to God forevermore. Let me read it again. Consider it a share gift, friends. When tests and challenges come at you from all sides. So have you ever felt that things are just happening from all sides? Things are happening all at once. He said, well, consider it as a gift. This is the word of God. Consider it as a gift. Why? You know that under pressure, take note of this, because I know some of you don't have the Message translation. Under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well developed, not deficient in anything. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. How to handle a tough season. Hallelujah for the Lord God omnipotent. All right, verse 16. Oh God Almighty. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17. For our light affliction. You know, there's no time I read this without feeling the anointing of God's Spirit. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, glory to God. He says, for a light affliction works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, he's writing to believers. And then he's talking about affliction. He's talking about trials. He's talking about tests. He's talking about challenges hitting people from every side. You know, I've said it again and again that as a Christian, don't feel strange. Sorry. Don't feel strange when you are challenged. Don't feel like this is not supposed to happen to a Christian. Yes, there are things that are not supposed to happen to Christians. I've told you, faith believes God for the best, but is ready for the worst because it can handle it. Glory to God. I love what Paul says. Light affliction. Meaning whatever you're going through, whatever you go through is light. It doesn't matter what you feel about it. It's light. And it's part of the ingredients that God is going to use to work out things for your good. It's part of the ingredients. Remember what Paul says in Romans 8. He says, we know we will get there. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, all things, it means both the sweet, the bitter and the sour. Both the good, the bad. All the good, the bad, and the ugly. All things work together for good. For them that love God. For them who are the called according to his purpose. Are you the called according to his purpose? All things work together for God. So, how do you handle it? You know what is important? Many people have missed their opportunities for promotion because they didn't know how to handle the things that came their way. Many Christians, let me narrow it down now. Many Christians didn't know how to handle what came and they blew the whole thing. The key is in the response. Settle it. You know, when Jesus was teaching in St. Matthew's Gospel 7, I believe, chapter 7, right? From verse 24. When he was talking about it says, he that heareth my sayings and doeth them. He's like unto a man that builds his house upon the rock. How many of you remember that? And he that heareth my word and doesn't do it is like unto a man that builds his house where? On the sand. The rains came. The floods came. The winds came. Now you notice that these three things came to both. Common denominator. That means the problem wasn't the rain, wasn't the flood, wasn't the wind. It was the foundation upon which the houses were built. So it will come. Settle it all in your journey of destiny as you go, and it happens at different levels. The things you are believing God for and believing God and praying and sowing and releasing your faith for, when they come, there will be another level. Is somebody listening to me? There will always be something more. But see, as you move from point A to point B, in between, you always have tough seasons. And tough seasons are time blocks intended by God for a purpose. It comes. Certainly it comes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I say the key is in your response. How you respond to what happens. The problem is not what happened. The problem is not what is happening. The problem is not what people go through. The problem is their response. And you see, you can never respond outside the sphere of what you know. Your knowledge base will always determine your kind of response in tough seasons. I say that again, your knowledge base, what you know about God, what you know about yourself, what you know about life, will always affect your response in tough seasons. Always. And you see, that response is what determines the outcome. David faced Goliath and ended up on the throne. Why? God scheduled the giants for his next level. Go and read the story again. His life wasn't the same after the encounter with Goliath. Like I used to say, you see, when you dodge your Goliath, there is no throne for you. So you will learn to face the Goliath head on. Because you know, after the Goliath is down, the throne is ready. He blew to national influence after bringing down Goliath. Glory to God. But you know what some people are doing and saying? They are saying it's not possible to bring down this Goliath. In fact, they are saying, Lord, why have you brought the Goliath before me? But David never spoke like that. Rather, he relied on the covenant. He relied on the covenant to bring down Goliath and move to another level. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God forevermore. Jesus said, in this world you will have what? Tribulation. In me you have peace. He said, in this world you have tribulations. What are tribulations? Tribulation is what life deals to you. I separated afflictions and persecutions. Or tribulations and persecution. Tribulation is what life deals to you. Persecution is what people do to you. And then one of the things you have to watch out for as these two things happen is offense. You know, the danger of not knowing how to respond, especially for believers, you know where it leads them to? Offense. So watch out for that. Tough seasons create opportunity for offense. Offense at people, offense toward God. And the moment you give in to the offense thing, you are trapped. We called offense the perfect law of bondage, remember? The moment you give in to offense, you are already in trouble. So you watch out for offense. Tribulations, persecutions, what men are doing to you. Maybe you felt this person should have done this, but he's not doing it. This person shouldn't have done this at this season, but he's doing this. You watch out for offense. Because listen, by extension, you know, those seasons to be offended are also seasons for the test of your love, which is important to your promotion. Is somebody following me? You remember the story, I think I shared it with you, Keith Moore, of, I've shared it here before now, the story of Keith Moore. Keith Moore, yes, I have. Who remembers about the mean? Okay, you remember, I shared it. About his assistant pastor. Yes, you remember? And they were believing God for a property. Sorry, Keith Butler, not Keith Moore. Sorry, Bishop Keith Butler. Believing God for a property. This tough time comes. These seasons of difficulty. Amazing thing is, they are always prelude to major breaking forth. In the middle of sorting out a property. In fact, they're about to lose a property if they don't give, was it $50,000, I believe? That's $50,000. In that, the assistant pastor says he's leaving. He's breaking out with members. Coincidentally, the man was older than him. The assistant pastor was older than him. He was a much younger man. And that means the older and the more financially stable members of the church were going to go with him. And he told him, he said, could you just hold on for us to go through this phase? I don't have a problem with you leaving. He said, no, it's happening now. It's now. The Lord is talking now. We have to break out now. And well, bottom line is, he had to maintain his love walk. He had to make it was God spoke to him. He said, you're going to raise a seed for him in the middle of this. God spoke to him, you raise a seed for him, you give him the seed and hug him. So he announced, okay, we'll take an offering for this person next Sunday. And guess what? The highest offering they've ever raised in that church came that Sunday. Happened that day. Amazing. You know, that's also an opportunity to get offended at the members. And thank you. It's true. It will be natural for the other person to think that, yes, this is an endorsement. You see, God is talking. It's not true. And then he raised the money, did a check, and then went to give. He said he was expecting that the man, after giving the man the check, he'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, and all that. I was not sensitive. He just, as a strategy, guy just grabbed it, put it, and said, thank you. And then God said, you're not done. Hug him. He said, honestly, he felt like blowing the man. He felt like giving a heavy blow. But God said, hug him. It's not complaining. Hug him and tell him, I love you. And then he hugged him according to God's instruction and said, I love you. You know, at such times, weights will be lifted. And then you are ready for what God is said to do. The day of the deadline, what happened? They said there was a man who was there to see him. He says, I can't see anybody now. I'm sorting out. He said, the man insisting he wants to see you. He has been to this church once. That's what they told him. Once. Do you understand? Once. You see, at seasons like that, things may not come from where you expect. He has been to this church once. He just once. He wants to see. It's okay. He just came to see him. He said, the Lord spoke to me to help you or so. And then he brought out a check. He says, write what you want. He signed, he said, feeling what you want. Or feeling what you need, right? And the Lord spoke to him. In fact, the man was not aware that they were raising money for any property. He said, feeling what you want. And he looked at me, he said, yeah, feeling what you want. He said, how much you need exactly? He said, you mean I should feel what I want? $50,000. He filled it. He said, okay, can I be? When he left, he had to call the bank. So some person came here, gave a check. Is it real? No. Well, from the bank, they told me, they said, well, he's resourceful. And whatever I told you to feel, he has it. It's just that we can't tell you how much he has here. Whatever he tells you to feel, he has it. And to call the whole story short, the deal was sealed that day and they had a property. Did you see that? Opportunity to get offended. I want to get into that. We call it I don't know who God is talking to this morning. We call it the perfect law of bondage. You can't see what God is doing. You are just focused on who did what and what did what. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. All right. The first thing I want to say is this. In dealing with offense, the first thing is amplify your confession of faith. Amplify your confession of faith. Let me tell you, it's not funny. It is not funny. Standing and declaring God's word in the face of staggering opposition. But that is the work of faith. Do you understand? That is the work of faith. You will stand and declare. In fact, you will increase the voice of your faith. You will increase the declaration of your faith. The intensity of what you're saying. It has to increase. You know why? For the sake of your mind. Listen, every tough time comes with questions for your mind. A lot of things are going on in your mind. Will go on in your mind. You are wondering, is it because of this? Is it because of this? What if this doesn't happen? What if that? What are you going to do? You amplify the confessions of your faith. You increase the intensity of the declarations, of the things you've been convinced of. It's not time to stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. No. It's time to be strong in faith, giving glory to God. It's time to be strong in faith, giving glory to God. Do you know how long it took for Isaac to be born after God has spoken to Abraham? But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham was not weak in faith. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know what I was talking about? Making confessions. Making confessions. Strong in faith, giving glory to God. You will stand when it looks like nothing is happening on the outside. When it looks like all the doors are shut at you. When it looks like victory is lost and faith is weak. You will stand and declare, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is no scarcity anywhere. There is abundance all around me. I walk, I wash my feet in butter. The rocks pour me forth rivers of oil. In the name of Jesus, you amplify. If the challenge is in the area of finances, what are those scriptures you know about financial prosperity? It's time to amplify them. You see, faith simply means giving voice. One of the definitions of it is giving voice to the word of God. With convictions in your heart. You say it. With your mind trying to calm it. I say, stop, relax. It's not like that. You shout it. You shout it. There is great abundance for me. There is great increase for me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the boundary lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. The lines are falling onto me in pleasant places, morning, noon, and night. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the pleasure of the Lord prospers in my hands. The pleasure of the Lord prospers in my hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God who gives me the true our Lord Jesus. Thanks be unto God. Hey, thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God. I'm coming out with a testimony. I'm coming out better. I'm coming out wiser. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord has made a way for me, and my eyes are open to see it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord is committed to his word concerning me. For he has said, the words that I've spoken about you, they will hover until they find fulfillment. You will amplify the voice of a confessional. The hand of the Lord is upon me. Therefore, I'm on speed. The hand of the Lord is upon me. Therefore, the Lord satisfies me early. The hand of the Lord is upon me. Therefore, no door can be shut at me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I am his anointed, whose right hand he has strengthened. He has opened the gates of wealth to me. The wealth of this city. The wealth of this land. The wealth of this nation. The hidden riches of secret places are mine. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Cyrus anointing is upon me. I possess the hot places. No, my life cannot end like this. Things can no. The Bible says, mark ye the righteous. It says, mark the righteous. Their end shall be peace. Their end shall be prosperity. This is the word of the Lord, and this is what I believe. It's not time to keep quiet. That's what I'm saying. It's not time to keep quiet. And then you customize the confession to what you want. Amplify the voice of a confession. Handling tough seasons. Amplify. Now, a lot of things are going to happen because of that. Your eyes will be open to see. Amplify the voice of a confession. Talk. We have said it again and again that talk is not cheap. You know, there are two things there in tough seasons that Satan is after. Getting you to say the wrong thing and getting you not to talk at all. You know, when you don't talk, your mind will be out of control. Your mind will be out of control. He can pump in all kinds of thoughts of fear, of uncertainty, of dissatisfaction there. But see, you will learn to open your mouth and talk. Amplify the voice of your confession. You shout it loud. You see, circumstances do not change status. It doesn't. It will never change status. Meaning, what you're going through doesn't change who you are. It doesn't change God's word concerning you. No. So who are you going to believe? The circumstance or God's word? You believe God's word. You believe God's word. And you talk in the arena of God's word. You don't speak as though... See, never bend to sick situation. Never bend. Let your faith be unbending. Let your faith be unyielding. Let your faith be stubborn. Stubborn faith. That's what the fight of faith is about. Let your faith be stubborn. You say, "Ah, Pastor, this is the fifth year now I've been believing. It makes no difference." Let your faith be stubborn. Ken Hagin says, it seems when a man is ready to stand in one position, until his change comes, it doesn't take so long before the change actually comes. Be firm. Be firm. And one of the places to show that firmness is in amplifying the voice of your faith. Amplifying the voice of your faith. Amplifying the declarations of faith. Not as something you are just doing routinely. No. But you see, there's a fervency, there's a fire, there's a hunger for change. There's a desire, there's an expectation. And then you tell the devil, "If I need to say it 1,000 times, I'll keep letting you know until this happens. Until this happens." Why? The word of God always prevails. The Bible says, "In the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Oh my goodness. The word of God always prevails. So it's not just in the city of Ephesus. Over cancer, over HIV, over financial difficulty, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Over seeming stagnation, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You let the word prevail. You let the word prevail in your circumstance. That's what I'm saying. You let the word prevail. And listen, that scripture in Acts that says, "In the city of Ephesus, somebody grew the word of God and prevailed," shows us that, listen, before the word of God prevailed, Paul was talking every day for the space of 2 years or so. Every day he was talking. That means words were going into the air. Words were going into the air. The Bible says, "Separated to the school of Tyrannus, and there daily he spoke forth God's word." He spoke forth God's word. He's a long time abode there, giving testimony to the word of his grace. Long time they abode, speaking. And God gave testimony to the word of his grace. You let the word prevail. Oh, I assure you, if you are going to be so great, which is your destiny, you will find difficulties on the way. You will, in different areas. But what is your disposition? What is your disposition? There will be difficulties in different forms. But there's a mentality of a victor that you must have. There's a mentality of a victor that you must have. You never let anything put you on the ground. Never talk like a victim. Never think like a victim. Don't talk defeat. It's not part of the code. Never let the demons know. Glory to God. There's a disposition of faith you must have. Even when your mind is trying to be afraid, let your mouth talk. Let your mouth talk. I don't say, "But I was afraid in my heart, in my mind." Don't be afraid in your mouth. Let me tell you, there are two reasons. Is it two or three reasons the lions roar? Listen, you know, fear comes to the lion too. You don't know? Go and study very well. But see, one of the things the lion does to deal with fear is roaring. Is roaring. So when you have the multitude of shepherds called forth against him, or he signals the presence of a threat, the lion roars. And the roaring does two things. Number one is to reassure himself that he's in charge of this territory. Not because fear did not come to him. The fear came. But there is an assurance that roaring is going to produce in the lion's heart that is still in charge of this place. Then number two, he sends the signal to the predator. And through that roaring, it paralyzes the predator. Sends fear. Listen, when you are bold with your confession, you send fear to devils and demons. There's a boldness. That's the code, and the demons know. Now, do you know why Christians cast out devils and the devils don't go? You think it's because the Christians doesn't have authority? You think because the demons don't know that the believer has authority? No. There's a code. When they can't sense boldness in your voice, they know. They know. You say, hey, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. I'm warning you. Come out. Like who was casting out the demon? He said, come out. The demon says something. He said, you're not supposed to say that. Glory to God. Now be bold. They know. You send paralysis to the camp of your enemies. Of them demons. You know them demons? You send paralysis. You speak boldly. And as you keep speaking, the fear in your hearts will dissipate. It will go. Hallelujah. Maintain the confession of your faith. And be bold about it. I can say it 1,000 times. Be bold about it. You shall greater receive that is in me than he that is in the world. The greater one lives on my inside morning, noon, and night. Morning, noon, and night. You say, darkness, I am the light of the world. And I'm piercing through you as the light of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You speak it to. So amplify the confessions of your faith. First response. First response. The second thing is learning. Learning. It's time to learn. We're talking about how to deal with a tough season. Learning. You see, when you are faced with challenging times, don't have that holier than thou attitude. Don't have that I know it all attitude. It doesn't matter where you have been. Always know that there is something to learn in tough time or at tough seasons. There's something to learn. There's something to learn. Enter in or go through it knowing that, look, it's an opportunity to learn something. I have to learn something. Lord, thou which I do not know, teach thou me. Teach thou me. There's something you don't know. Don't form holier than thou. Meaning it's time to gain wisdom. It's time to gain knowledge. Now, when we read 4th James chapter 1, getting to verse 5, you heard what he said. He said, Let him ask your for wisdom. Verse 5 of that James 1. You see that. Now he started talking about going through tough times, rejoicing at tough seasons, and then asking for wisdom. Can you see that? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men. Are you following?
Yes,
sir. Learning. Be deliberate about it. Learning in two forms. Lord, that which I do not know, teach thou me. Learning to know the mind of God concerning the situation. Learning what you require for the next level. You know, most times God uses these tough seasons to teach us, to train us. I think we read it in the Message translation. To develop us. Whether you believe it or not, certain things are built in you through tough seasons.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You learn character. Convictions are birth. Convictions are birth. Why? God gets your attention in tough seasons.
Yes,
now, if you don't give him attention, you're on your own. If you can't give God attention in tough seasons, in tough seasons, where else? God should get your attention. And then he begins to teach you. It begins to teach you. It begins to teach you. Don't have holier than thou. Be open. Lord, that which I do not know, teach thou me. The other thing there is to put your teachers before you. Put your teachers before you. Because you see, one of your greatest assets, one of the most comforting things in tough season is hearing the voice of God. Do you know that? Hearing the voice of God. You can do all this, but you see, nothing is as comforting as hearing the voice of God. At these seasons when you are dealing with difficulties, it's comforting. You know, recently I was talking to the Lord, ministry, Lord, what is happening? What is happening? And I heard the voice of God about it. And it changed me forever from inside out. It's good that we have the halls packed out during services and all that. But listen to me, oh, I see beyond that. I see beyond that. For whatever reason today, this seat that I'm empty doesn't intimidate me. You know why? I heard God. I heard God. Whatever we're going through in the face as a ministry doesn't intimidate me because I heard God. Why did I say that? When you put your teachers before you, you can easily hear God at tough seasons. Don't forget that. See, a lot of things go through your mind at seasons of difficulty. So that interface, or that attitude of putting your teachers, what do you mean by putting your teachers before you? Listen to messages. Let me put it that simple. Listen to messages a lot. Read books that the Spirit of God will lead you to a lot. Put your teachers before you, not just the Bible. Don't say, okay, I will just read the Bible. No, put your teachers before you. Isaiah 30, 20 to 21, I believe. Put it up for me. Let me show you something. There's a strong connection between listening to your teachers and hearing the voice behind you. You see, the teachers are before you, then you hear the voice behind you. Look at this. Put it up for me. Isaiah 30. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. Can you see? At least God has to do this for you. See, your teachers will not be removed to a corner. But your eyes shall see your teachers. That's what I meant by keeping your teachers before you. Your eyes shall see your teachers. Your eyes shall see your teachers. Your eyes shall see your teachers. This is why we say, okay, take time out, go on retreat, but go with books, go with messages. We know what we're saying. And then the Bible. God knows that you need that. Listen, we are at advantage in this generation. Yes, sir. Great advantage. Technology has given us advantage. And we have to use it. He said, your teachers will not be removed to a corner, but your eyes shall see your teachers. What's the next thing? See? 21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. One of the things you need in tough times is direction, divine direction. And you can see the connections there. Your teachers are before you, you hear a voice, a word behind you in your ear saying, this is the way, walk in it. Walk in it. It's time for learning. It's time for learning. It's time for learning. You have to know that. It's time for learning. And as you begin to learn, as you have that disposition, you begin to see the reason for the season. You begin to see what God wants to achieve with what is happening around you. You begin to see it. Glory to God forever. You put the word behind, before you. You put your teachers before you. And then you hear a voice saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Divine direction. Divine direction. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. All right, that's number two. Number three, a joyful disposition. A joyful disposition. There's a line there I want to read for you. New Living Translation. If you have it, you already see. You're already seeing it. It said, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Amen. Consider it an opportunity for what? Great joy. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. Yeah. King James says, "Count it all joy." But I love the way the translation puts it. You would... joyful disposition. And that attitude positions you to come out of it. An opportunity for joy. It needs an opportunity for sorrow. We read a scripture last Sunday, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. The man said, "Though the fig tree shall not blossom, no fig being the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, no head in the stall." He said, "Yet I will rejoice." That's what he's talking about. Opportunity for joy. Opportunity for joy. And thank God I told you it's not happiness. So you walk it out. Glory to God. You walk it out. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So you rejoice. You see it as an opportunity to rejoice. And then that atmosphere of joy brings vision. That atmosphere of joy brings peace in your heart. That atmosphere of joy opens your eyes to see what the Lord wants you to see and to see what to do. Very important. The next thing is sowing. I'll just rush it so that we'll finish up today. Dealing with tough seasons. Sowing. Put up that Psalm 126, 5 to 6 for me. Let me show you something from there. Now, sowing talks about sowing of seeds, sowing of words. Thank God we talked about confession already. Sowing of mercy, sowing of good deeds, sowing of kindness. Wait, let me give you this mindset. Every time we talk about seed sowing, don't only think of money. Is that okay? Very important. Because a lot of people feel when you say, "Sow seeds in seasons of difficulty," they're thinking, "I don't even have money." Yeah, money is important. But you see, think beyond money. Is that okay? Do you know you are an embodiment of seed? You are. You are an embodiment of seeds. You keep sowing. You keep sowing. You sow words, you sow kindness, act of kindness. You invest your time in making something better. You just sow. You look around, you will see that you have seed to sow. And then we'll talk about material seed. Do you know God has never left anyone without a seed? Let me assure you. Even if you think the difficult time is financial, there's a seed. There's a material seed to sow. God will open your eyes to see something to sow. The widow came to the prophet, "Oh man of God, thou knowest that my husband was a good man, he feared the Lord and all that. But he's now dead, and the creditors have come to take his sons, our sons." The prophet said, "What do you have in your house?" Listen, God will always begin with what you have. God always, always, always. Always, always, always. The Bible says, "If the Lord had left us without a seed, we would have been like unto Sodom and Gomorrah." Meaning destruction is imminent when your eyes cannot see the seed. There's always a seed. She said, "I have nothing except this little jar of oil." Can you see? She had something. The prophet said, "Go and borrow verses. Borrow not a few." There's always something. Always something. Always, always. There's always something. Let your eyes be open to see. And then, you know the end of the story. Her life was changed dramatically. She became a distributor of oil. Hallelujah. A distributor. There's always something to sow. And let's narrow it down to material seed now. There's always something to sow. Always. Tough seasons, drop a sacrifice on the altar. For the fastest way to change the thing is a sacrifice on the altar. When you do and nothing is moving, carry something precious, drop it on the altar. Give me 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's read that story. Very inspiring. 1 Kings chapter 3. There was war between the children of Israel. Let's read it quickly. 1 Kings chapter 3. From verse, when we read verse 15, now, this was the king of Israel. He was with Jehoshaphat, right? They were going to war against the king of Moab. And they went to the prophet and all that. He was angry. He said, bring me a minstrel. The hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. You remember? For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water. That's supernatural already. Okay, that you may drink and a donkey. 18 says, and this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Now, this is an accurate prophecy. Very accurate. I want you to follow closely. It started out, they were leading in the battle. Alright. But you see, something happened. The king of Moab did not. It was posterity he was looking at. He wasn't looking at himself. He looked, look, how long are we going to be slaves to the children of Israel? He saw that, look, I have to do what I have to do. We cannot keep being subservient to these people. He began to see that their women and their children will be slaves. Their sons will be taken. And he knew he had to make sacrifice. Listen, God was with these people. I want you to notice something. And what I want to bring out there is the power of sacrifice at tough seasons. He did everything. He was losing the war. And the verse 25 says, and they beat down the cities. And on every good piece of land, cast every man a stone and filled it. And they stopped all the wells of water. And fell all the good trees. Only in Keharaseth left they the stones thereof. Howbeit the slingers went and all that. 26 says, and when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too difficult for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but he could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him, and he returned to his own land. My goodness. I don't know what you saw reading that scripture. There was great indignation against Israel. A prophet of God told them that they were going to beat Moab. And it was already happening. But the other man understood the power. Listen, God respects sacrifice. I don't want to mention names. There are people called bad people in this country who are giving to helping the poor in an unusual and selfless way. And people are wondering why they are still there. Glory to God. You remember Obasanjo's story, General Obasanjo's story? How many of you remember that story? I told you last year. Nothing just happens. No. Nothing just happens. No. Do you know Obama, after graduating from Harvard, dedicated about a year of his life consulting for free for religious organizations, especially churches? Years ago, for free, you left Harvard. I said you wanted to invest, and it was a principle he was practicing. Invested 1 or 2 years as an attorney. General Obasanjo, as a young man, spent 2 years of his life on a farm to pay the rent of a Baptist church. And then you are now wondering. When the pastor was praying for him, it was said that he was praying. He said, you will rule and you will rule again. He wasn't thinking of presidency. But those are the words that came out of his mouth. He said, in your generation, you will rule and you will rule again. Talk to me. Was that not what happened? Life is serious. Life is spiritual. The sum total of your outcome is connected to the seed of sacrifice you have sown. Do you know what it means to take 2 years out of a young man's life? It was that money they used to buy, either to buy the property or to pay off the landlord or so, of a Baptist church in the, it happened in the 50s, I was told, late 50s or early 60s. Is somebody listening to me? Are you inspired by that story? Sacrifice. It will always pay. It will always turn things in your favor. There was great indignation against the people that God was for. How can you explain that? Sacrifice. Is Yaba, but was God for people sacrificing their only son? Well, it's a principle he just practiced. And God saw it. Or let me just put it for you so that I can help some of you that have questions. The realm of the spirit saw it and responded. A greater sacrifice was speaking. Now you don't see why God had to offer the greatest sacrifice for you. So nobody can sacrifice humans anymore and defeat you. Because, oh my goodness, you have the greatest sacrifice speaking for you. But remember, at this time, Jesus had not died. All they had was the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer. But Jesus came. God was deliberate. He knew the power of sacrifice. This was what happened here. Took his only son. There had to be indignation. Because there was no greater sacrifice to speak for the children of Israel. No greater sacrifice. Life is spiritual. And at tough seasons, one of the things you must not forget to do is to put sacrifice on the altar. Sometimes God will ask for your car, for your house, for that precious savings, for your gadgets, for something that is precious to you. He said, but God has not spoken to me. Go and pray. When you are serious for a change, God will leave something in your heart. It's in response to sacrifice. Is somebody listening to me? Hallelujah. Are you learning something? It's time to sow. A tough season is a season of sowing. All right, that I say Psalm 126 quickly. 5 and 6. Thank you, Lord. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You know why they are sowing in tears? This season is tough. And then it is a sacrifice. Next verse. He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again. You say, I'll be back. I'll be back. He shall doubtless come again. So it's not over. A man loses his job. Things are torn up. There's always a comeback. Amen. Shall doubtless. But how does it work? You go forth weeping, bearing precious seed. Bearing precious seed. You will doubtless return with the harvest, rejoicing. Glory to God forevermore. Never forget that. Never forget it. Tough times are seasons of sowing. Practice it. Get inspired by the Spirit to do it. Isn't sometimes you don't even have to wait for God to talk to you. It works. You look for sacrifice. You bind into the horns of the altar. You look for sacrifice. So I want a new season. I want things to change very fast. I want this season to be over. You carry a seed and drop it on the altar. Sacrifice moves spirits. You know, when we say this, because some pastors have abused this, people think pastors are talking so that people can give. You keep your money and your things with you. Like Peter says, your money perish with you. Do you know your wealth is a ransom for your soul? Your material substance is a ransom for your soul. Listen, don't join these foolish people that are attacking pastors. Who, don't join them. You will shut down your destiny. I'm telling you now, you will shut down your destiny. For no reason. Oh, they say our people, their eyes need to be open. All these men of God deceiving people to collect money. They say, God will open the eyes of our people. May my eyes never be open. No? If it's that kind of open eyes, may I never have it. May you never have it. Amen. I say they are chopping people's money. I say, at this moment, money chop too. You have not given your own and you are complaining. Are they chopping your own money? This is injustice. They must fight for injustice. Listen, what you don't know, don't talk about. Anointing matter is too high for you. Too high. Too high. They say, I say, but all these stories they are saying, is it not true? Can there be smoke? Is it smoke without fire? You are a carnal man. Yes, there can be smoke without fire. Joseph was accused of sexually harassing Potiphar's wife. She even had evidence. You know what was the evidence? His shirt, his coat. You know there was evidence. Is that bad? There was evidence. So let me ask you. So what was the fire that produced the smoke? Talk to me now. What you don't know is that you don't understand that there's an antichrist spirit that fights the church of God, that targets the anointed. That's all you don't know. Do you know in the days of Jesus there were rumors that he was doing miracles by Beelzebub? Are you aware? This is your Jesus that you are dying for. That he did miracles by evil spirits. Are you aware? So what's the truth in that? Let me shock you. Do you know there were rumors that he was having an affair with Mary Magdalene? Let me not spoil your mind now. People made a movie about it. Rubbish. Rubbish. What does it make it true? You live your life on internet rumors, you are gone. As in, you're gone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is for your soul. It is for your soul. It is for your soul. Alright, and lastly, James chapter 5 talks about, is any afflicted among you? Let him pray. Tough seasons, take our time. Pray. 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 You know, under learning, you can talk about mentorship and impartations. Under that learning, you can put mentorship and impartations. Okay, or you can put it separately. Mentorship and impartations. Listen, there are seasons where what is confronting you is bigger than your faith. So talk about partnership in prayer, partnership with people of like precious faith, with a fellow believer, with someone you honor and whose faith you honor and respect. For mentorship, impartation, and agreement. Did you hear what I said? In fact, you should write it as another number. That should be number 6. That should be another number. Listen, there are times the difficulty you are facing is beyond the level of your faith. Get mentorship. Receive impartations. Receive impartations. You do and do and do and do and then you can't. You know, just like a child who was playing football and he chewed the block. The ball fell on the roof. And then he's carrying stick and trying to bring it down. He can't even see the ball from where he is. You go and arrange things. He will stand. He can't still see the ball. Until he gets enough sense to ask the older one, "Uncle, please, can you help me bring down the ball?" What happens? What he's been trying to do, the guy just says, "Go and touch," and then he falls down. Glory to God. So there are seasons, tough seasons, you get direct mentorship and impartations for change of season. Specific impartation for change of season. It's like you hear that people went for meetings. They went to see their mentor and they came back and things were not the same. So it's not just wisdom they got from there. Impartations. There was transference of spiritual substance that moved them from their current level. It's like a caterpillar pushing you. Pushing something. A truck. Towing something. Something bigger. Just it's like a tow. Glory to God forevermore. And suddenly you leverage on the track record of the mentor. You leverage on his faith. You leverage on the anointing upon him to overcome and prevail in this season. Is somebody learning something this morning? It happens. It's for real. You can stand upon the shoulders. You can stand on the faith of others. You can stand on the anointing of others. Listen, in life, God didn't design that all the results you produce should be by your own faith alone. Or should be by your efforts and the things you just do by yourself. That's not God's design. Hallelujah. You just get shifted. Thank you, Jesus. Did you learn something this morning?
Yes,
hallelujah. Rise to your feet.
You have just listened to Pastor Erasmus Amewell, the senior pastor of the Embassy of Heaven. For more messages and information, log on to our website, www.theembassyofheaven.org. Stay blessed.